Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And you hear the call right there as Syracuse takes down Duke. That's on IMG, and they knock off the number one Duke Blue Devils. Remember, about 2 months ago, Duke's going undefeated. Nobody's beating them. Gonzaga beat them, and now Syracuse beat them. They're a really good team. They're also a really young team.
Yeah.
Will I bet against them in the NCAA tournament? No. I'm going to pick them to win the whole thing. I can tell you that now. Will they win the tournament? I don't know, because you get in a one-game scenario in there. They don't shoot it great. I mean, Reddish can shoot it. Barrett can shoot it, but they're not. You know, Duke has had some teams where they're stroking it. They're stroking it from every angle. But this isn't quite that. This team is uber, uber talented. But last night, that stupid 2-3 zone, they didn't shoot it well. And still we're in the basketball game into overtime.
Yeah, it's the world of college basketball when you live with the 17, 18-year-olds as the cornerstones of your franchise
right
out there. Don't have any pity parties for Duke.
I don't.
I mean, there's no pity parties for Duke. From them losing to... They'll be a Final Four team when it's all said and done. They may win it, they may not, but they'll be right there at the end.
Now, we wanted to spin this into a basketball conversation for a minute. We're going to get back into the Falcon stuff and what Jaden Hazelwood had to say about the University of Georgia. We'll replay that clip coming up here in just a moment. But you were talking about before the show, a lot of people heaping a ton of praise on Luka Doncic. And rightly so. Luka's having a tremendous rookie year, so much so that Dennis Smith Jr., a high draft choice of the Mavericks just a couple of years ago, is on the trading block. Apparently the Mavericks are talking to Phoenix and one other team about trading him because Luka controls the ball so much and they want the ball in his hands.
Right.
But we spin it to the question about Trae Young. Trae has had a nice rookie year, hadn't shot it as well as he wanted, but as far as floor leadership, assist, all that stuff, Trae's been doing that. Did the Hawks get it right, at least in year one? And will Trae ever reach the love that Luka Doncic is getting right now?
In year one, no. I'm going to read you this quote real quick from Steve Kerr. This was from Saturday. The guy doesn't look like a rookie. I don't know much about him. I never saw him play until we played Dallas the first time or watching him on TV before that. But he is confident beyond where you would expect somebody in his shoes to be, coming from a different country and being 19 years old. He's a brilliant player. I think he's already an all-star. I don't know how the vote is going to shake out, but he looks like an all-star player to me. And then they interviewed Draymond Green and Steph Curry, and they all kind of heaped a lot of praise. For this year, no, because Luka Doncic is definitely the better player.
Right.
And he's obviously got a lot more experience and played in a professional league and stuff like that.
And you could argue he's got a lot more talent around him
right
when you look at the Dallas Mavericks roster.
The question I asked you the other day out in the bullpen was over under that Trae Young is an all-star three times.
I'd say over.
Okay, because he needs to be. Because, and I hate to say it this way, John, but if this organization of the Hawks really ever plans to be in the top tier mix, Trae Young has to be a home run.
He
can't be a double, can't be a single, can't be a pretty good player, can't be a guy who can run your offense. He has to be a home run. And I hope we didn't pass by a generational guy to get what is the upside, hopeful upside of what Trae Young is. Because everybody knew coming in, Doncic is going to be the guy right away because he's got the experience. But he's really starting to get a rep around the league, though, John, about people are enamored with the way he plays. Look, Steve Kerr and Steph Curry and Draymond Green, those aren't guys to throw around compliments to everybody. You know, I mean, and it's not the Lou Holtz of, you know, we're going to play Colgate and they're the greatest team I've ever seen on film or whatever like that. Steve Kerr starts telling you that kind of stuff, he's going to speak his mind. He's going to tell you the truth about it, whether you want him to say that or not. So you start reading that kind of stuff and say, okay, boy, wow. You know, it's going to take maybe 3 or 4 years, but boy, I hope we got that pick right. Because if not, it puts your franchise back even more.
Here's the thing. You look at Trae, 16.7 assists. He's shooting 39.5% from the field and 28% from three. If he gets field goal percentage up to 45, which still isn't a good percentage, and he gets the three-point percentage closer to 35, mm-hmm. That's a 20-point-a-game guy with 7 to 8 assists. And if he starts shooting it well, I think the assists go up because teams have to defend him more, and it's going to leave more open opportunities for other guys. I said this year I thought Trey would be like a 12 and 8 guy, 12 points, 8 assists, and whatever he gets rebound-wise. He's not doing Luka, and Luka, I believe, is at 20. He's at 20 points. He's shooting 43% from the field. The difference is he's shooting 37.5% from downtown. He's averaging 6 rebounds and 5 assists, and obviously as a guy that's closer at, what, 6'8", 6'9",
right,
somewhere in there, he's going to get you on the rebound numbers. Luka's a great player, no doubt about it. I'm still on wait and see until Trey gets some kind of talent around him, not named John Collins, and I know the Hawks have a lot of young guys. Dallas is trying to make a playoff. You paid all this money for DeAndre Jordan to come over there. If they weren't trying to make the playoffs and they were still trying to be at the bottom of the draft, so be it. It's actually working out well for the Hawks because the draft choice from Dallas is top 5 protected. They're not going to be in the top 5 as it sits right now, and that gives you an additional first-round pick.
If I told you at the end of the year that, or how about this, let's say the expectation of Trae Young. Should the expectation of Trae Young this year be he should be 1 or 2 in scoring for the Hawks and lead the team in assists?
Yes.
Okay. And that's probably what he's going to finish, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably, I think John Collins leads the team right now.
Yes.
Yeah, in scoring, so like 19 or somewhere around
Yeah,
that,
right? And John hasn't played. I mean, I know when it's not like
right,
being
right.
a league leader.
Not, yeah, but it's not, and it's not equal games. But Trae should be 1 or 2 scoring first in assists. As long as he's that.
Right.
Because I don't think 12 and 8 would get you in the top 3 on
probably
the Hawks,
not.
You know, so I expect him to lead the team, an assist per game, and he should be 1 or 2. As long as I see that kind of projection from him, then I'm gonna let it play out. Obviously, I mean, it's only been 40 something games. I mean,
right.
but there is something to guys that look at a player and say, okay, that kid has something to him. You know, when you see him going against grown men.
Here's the thing I look at with Trae Young. It's the flashes that we've seen. I've seen nights where he's had 26 and 11, and you go, if you're not a special player in this league, you don't have those flashes. And he's had enough of those where you can look back and go, all right, there are nights that the shot is completely off, and then there's other nights where he's a wizard on the floor.
Right.
Steph Curry wasn't a star year one.
No, not even in year 2, 3.
No, he was a guy that struggled. Shot the ball.
Injuries.
Yeah, injuries, all of those things. I'm trying to pull up the Eastern Conference All-Star voting as it sits right now just to say why I think, and I've got it right here, why there's going to be a good chance that this guy gets into the All-Star game eventually. Kyrie Irving leads guards. Dwayne Wade second in guard voting by quite a bit, by almost 400,000 votes after that. So your other guards behind there, it's not really a who's who of basketball. Kemba Walker's a really good player. Where does he play? A small market in Charlotte that's never going to get quite the national attention that they want. Ben Simmons, really good player for the 76ers. He still has some warts on his game. Victor Oladipo, good player. Where's he play? Small market Indiana. Kyle Lowry's in another country, and he's getting older. Then it's Zach LaVine, Jeremy Lin, Goran Dragic, who's been hurt half the year, and Bradley Beal. Now, I know John Wall's hurt, but my point is when you look at those guards, why couldn't Trae Young make multiple All-Star teams out of the Eastern Conference
sure.
as it sits right now?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and he has to. I'm looking at this is from a few days ago when they released the list. The only guy in the Western Conference that has more All-Star votes than Luka is LeBron James.
Right.
Who's that guy? Who's LeBron?
Is he good? I don't know. He's okay.
But he's got more votes than Steph Curry even does at this point. And he's listed as a front court player, by the way. Luka is.
Yeah, and he's yeah. mostly mm-hmm. a front court player. Yeah. Let me ask you, do you have a problem with Dwayne Wade making the All-Star game as a starter?
Should he?
No, he shouldn't. Of course
right.
he shouldn't.
But, I mean, is this the retirement tour?
Yes.
So you're going to give him the magic treatment or whatever?
One last dance.
That's fine, whatever. I mean, who cares?
Because right now he's 5th in All-Star voting in the Eastern Conference. And like I said,
yeah.
he's got a sizable lead over Kemba Walker and Ben
Simmons.
I've got
him 2nd among guards with basically 1.2 million to 858 for Kemba. So that's fine. For that event and what he is, okay, fine. Whatever. If it's really his last year,
it is.
He's not pulling.
No, he's definitely leaving.
Okay.
He's not going to do the Brett Favre and next year go play for Olympiacos.
Okay.
He's one last dance. We're in the neon.
Or he's going to end up in like, I don't know, Utah or something
no,
for a year.
No. Okay. He's already done that. He went to Chicago and Cleveland.
Yeah.
two places he had no business being.
So that's fine. I got no problem with that. If it's the retirement tour and you want to put him out there, that's fine.
And I also think, to go back to the Trae Young conversation, if the Hawks were 21-20 right now, I think we'd be hearing a hell of a lot more about Trae Young.
Yeah, probably. Probably. I agree with you. It's just when you do kind of stand back a little bit when guys of that level,
right?
You know, it's not Tom Thibodeau, okay? You know what I mean? It's not those guys. It's Steph. It's Draymond. It's, you know, Steve Kerr. It's the elite of the elite guys, you know. I mean, I don't know. Is Kerr the best coach in the NBA right now? I mean, he's up there with Pop. I mean, he's right there. So when a guy like that speaks and he starts telling you about he deserves to be, because he doesn't have to put that on a kid like that. I mean, now, I'd love him to say something like that about our guy. Now, we're only going to play them twice. You know, they're going to see him, obviously, with Dallas a lot more. But wouldn't you love to see, like, Steve Kerr, something like that, say, boy, you can really see the upside with Trae Young and why Atlanta made that move to get him.
I want, and you know, Steph likes Trae Young. Steph is
And he's commented more about let the guy.
Comparing him to me.
Exactly. That's the only thing we've gotten out of Steph about Trae Young is stop comparing him to me.
Let's give away $1,000. Oh, I got him.
It's time for your $1,000 code word.
Code word this hour is foot, F-O-O-T. That's your $1,000 national signing bonus. Code word foot is the code word. Text that right now to 72881. You like the new sounder we put together, did you not?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Uh-huh. That's very original. So,
well, you know what happened is Orbit stopped working one day, and Mark goes, I can't hit the button, and it's not working, so do a code word sound.
Just make up something. Yeah, that's good.
Well,
that's
text foot right now to 72881. I hope me throwing the computer under the bus doesn't make me put my own foot in my mouth. But foot's your code word, 72881. That's your chance to win $1,000. We've given away, give or take, like $475,000 on this station over the last couple of years. Give or
take.
Nice. More take than give.
Okay. That's good. That's a pretty good number. Yeah. So now I know why the parking deck's not working.
Yeah, that was actually from the parking fund.
Yeah. That was Lanier Parking's donation to the fund. Boy, those people, let me tell you, the Gambino family doesn't have the racket that Lanier Parking does around here.
Oh, if you own one of these lots around downtown Atlanta, what's more, never mind. I'm not going to get into what's more of a racket because I don't want to get in trouble. I don't like meetings. And I don't need people showing up and going, come on in here. Need to talk to you. But, yeah, the parking deck or just having parking. You know how much these people are going to be parking or paying for parking during the Super Bowl?
Oh, my God.
I got a bunch of buddies coming in town. Where can we go? Where can we stay? Dude, I got a basement I can rent out to you that's going to be a hell of a lot cheaper than you getting a hotel.
I was going to say, you're going to Uber, aren't you? I mean, you're going to try to Uber.
Oh, no. I'm taking MARTA. I will park in Doraville and MARTA butt right
down
here.
You're going to be on Media Row, so I forgot. Yeah, you got to be part of the media, so I keep forgetting that. You're part of the flagship station of the NFL. So,
you know, Preacher Man will leave at 2. You could probably borrow – no, you can't do that either. It is illegal to pass a media credential around to anybody else. You had to go to Mike Conti and put in a face picture, a fingerprint, your background, everything.
I ain't got time for all that.
No?
No.
So you wouldn't come down – because you came down for one of the radio rows. Which radio row did you –
No, I was there for the SEC Media Days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you won't come down
because we were doing an interview and covering. I mean, we were actually working and stuff like that. So, you know, we had this unpromoted, unsponsored college football show that we do. Shh, don't say it too loud. We don't want anybody to know that we do anything like that. So, you know, we were trying to do something for that.
Okay. So now that the college football show is over, you won't come down for the Super Bowl just to say hey or, you know.
Like, I want to fight that track. Because I already asked Sean. I said, are we doing a weekend show down there? I was trying to get all my bearings and everything straight. So I think Terry said no to all of that.
Okay.
Right now. Who are those guys? Oh, yeah, no. Oh, yeah, no, 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 no. Are we broadcasting on weekends? Oh, no.
Now, we want to hear this from earlier on. If you missed it.
Mark always enjoys when I
speaking of college football, Jaden Hazelwood, commit to Oklahoma.
I told him he could go.
He was on Ink Talk. Ink Talk is a web-based show of some sort. By the way, I'll get a tattoo today. Maybe I should do Ink Talk.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, it's fine. Yeah.
Ink Scoop.
Yeah.
We can do Ink Scoop.
Wherever you want. Yeah, yeah, no. Oh, yeah, I got you. I got you on the hookup on that. Yeah.
But Jaden Hazelwood had some not so friendly things to say about the University of Georgia.
They was trying to make you too happy and then just change when you get there. Like, right. I know that's going to happen.
Right. Because you look, the offensive coordinator already gone.
He gone, exactly.
He already gone.
And he sat down in our house and explained how he
exactly
gonna be right, how he going to use
then
you.
And he did.
As soon as he's over, he gone.
For worse than a car salesman.
Yeah, that's right. All they are is car salesmen. Right. That's it.
So that's Jaden Hazelwood saying, you know, Jim Chaney gone, how they're going to use me. They're worse than car salesmen. Mm-hmm. I sound like he called out Georgia by name. Every school's got car salesmen and bagmen and runners and everything else.
Well, he probably, in some ways, he's from here.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably certain part of him that wishes it would have worked out to go to Georgia. Whether it was his decision, not his decision, I don't know. It makes you does make you kind of wonder about. I'm not saying Georgia turned him down or whatever like that, but I don't know. Maybe he didn't hear the right things from Georgia that he wanted to hear. I don't know. I mean, you never know what those kind of conversations were.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall, which, by the way, now you can – the earbuds or AirPods that everybody wears, apparently you can use them as like a listening device. There's a way on your phone where you can put it on like listening mode, and if you leave your phone in a room – like if I were to just get up and leave my phone here and have the AirPods on, I could listen to everything.
Well, you know, I do that now. Yeah, no, I got that all set up now, yeah. No, I got it.
That's John Chuckery over there. NFL bounce coming up next. Kyler Murray to the league. But which league? We'll talk about that on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Yeah, we were able to today.
As Sean Payton, you heard the final call, how it all ended up. It is time for the NFL bounce as the New Orleans Saints moved on to the NFC Championship game. They knock off the Eagles 20-14. John Chuckery in for Rick Kamla. I watched the game, and that was one where Philadelphia was a ball of fire for 15 minutes, and then they were stuck in the mud the rest of the day. And you give the Saints a ton of credit. Defensively, they played really well. They'll move on to take on the Los Angeles Rams. But Marshawn Lattimore, Johnny on the spot as the ball ricochets off Alshon Jeffrey, a guy who has some of the best hands in football. Here's one thing I didn't like, John. I heard the next day, well, Alshon played with cracked ribs. Dude, I don't want to hear that.
Oh, the other narrative, too, was, well, why were the Eagles in such a hurry? Because you got to try to go score. That part.
Now, I didn't agree with them snapping the ball with 1 second left. You've got a timeout. You're at the 20-yard line. If you can't score in 2 minutes, that's your own problem.
But he made the throw. He was wide open.
Yeah.
He had his hands. If he makes that catch.
It's second and three.
Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, It's a football play that didn't get made. That's all. I mean, talk about the play was there. He was open. It was in his hands. Wasn't like Nick Foles overthrew him. Wasn't like Nick Foles shot put it downfield, and that's how Lattimore got it.
Right. Here's the thing I look at with that matchup. Philly had so many opportunities early, and the play that gets lost in all of this is what happened with the interception with Nick Foles. The one that was it Lattimore that got him earlier.
Yes.
He underthrows Zach Ertz by about 2 yards. If he gets that ball out there, Zach Ertz walks into the end zone, and it's 21-0, and the Saints are at home right now, and the Eagles are heading to Los Angeles.
So is somebody going to be foolish enough to the fool's gold of Nick Foles to go overpay him and
absolutely
bring them into their franchise, huh?
I saw all the ridiculous takes middle of that game. Trade Carson Wentz right now. You could probably get 2 first-rounders for him. Really, you're going to trade Carson Wentz for a career average quarterback in Nick Foles.
Okay.
What do you think happens with Kyler Murray? Now he is going to enter the NFL draft. Is he a first round draft choice? I think he's the second pick behind Dwayne Haskins as far as quarterbacks go.
I think when it all shakes out, no. I think first of all, I think honestly he's going to be a baseball player. Does that mean he's not going to be a first round draft pick? Yeah, because he plays the right position out there. I think once you get everybody through camps and workouts and people are going to fall in love with the Drew Locks and the Jones kid out of Duke and stuff like that, when they see the size and they see that prototypical NFL quarterback, okay, that's what they're going to fall in love with. Like it or not, the 5'9 thing is going to work against Kyler Murray.
Of course.
Despite how great his and it doesn't mean he can't be a first-round pick because Johnny Manziel ran into some of the same stuff or what have you. And everybody, the first thing they will do is say, well, it's Russell Wilson or Drew Brees, or we'll start making these ridiculous comparisons, even though Russell Wilson played in not one, but 2 NFL-style offenses during his college career for Tom O'Brien and Brett Bielema.
Right.
So, yeah, I think he's a first-round pick, but I think it still ends up being a baseball decision. And you know, I asked you the question, is he holding the Oakland A's hostage? Yes, but I don't have a problem with it. You got to go get whatever you can get when you're young and go get your money. And if that means you can get $10 more million out of the Oakland A's or whatever the number ends up being,
right,
brother, go get $10 million more.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with him trying to get more money because I think it does come down to a money scenario. If it's me, I'd probably go play baseball, take the guaranteed money up front. If you can't hit a curveball, guess what? You go back to the NFL in 3 years, and they're still going to look at you. What was the kid? Drew Henson. Did that with the Yankees. Went and played baseball, realized he couldn't cut it. Went back to the NFL, got a shot, realized he couldn't cut it there either. But he got a chance to play both. Mm-hmm. If you go play football first and you get banged around, you probably don't end up back in baseball. You go play baseball first, you get a couple of years in the minors. Either you can play or you can't. And if you can't play, then go try the NFL.
Yeah, the biggest difference is most guys go play baseball, then go to college. You know, it's Quincy Carter, it's Chris Wenke, it's guys like that that go play baseball first for a little bit. And then, you know, Wenke was like 28 years old as a senior at Florida State. I mean, so.
Yeah, he had a receding hairline in grays by the time he won the Heisman.
And came here and threw for 37 yards in a, what, 11-4 game.
Yeah, where they played
like
the wing tee the entire day.
Oh, my God. What a game that was, by the way. So. You have to be careful about how long you wait, though, in the NFL.
Right.
I mean, that's the other thing. You say, well, just come back in 3 years. That's a lifetime in the NFL of not playing quarterback.
Yeah, of not playing football, period.
Right. And not playing quarterback, that's a life. That's like 20 dog years, you know what I mean? So you have to be careful about when you do that. I think the smart play is still go play baseball when it's all said and done. And I still – because – he never flirted out the idea before the season started about, oh, I'm going to the NFL and I'm a first round. None of this kind of got floated out there until all of a sudden 50-something touchdowns and a Heisman Trophy later is when all of a sudden, hey, you know, maybe this guy can play in the NFL. So I think baseball. I think it's get as much out of the Oakland A's right now as you can and put the screws to them if you can and see what happens. Because, by the way, he also, right, has to get a release from the A's to attend the scouting combine.
I think
right?
so.
Yeah,
yes.
Because it's during spring training. So he has to get a release from them. So there's a lot of moving parts to this story.
That there absolutely is. Some parts to the end of the Eagles-Saints game. I don't know if you saw this video, but Michael Bennett afterwards, is he going to be in hot water? Probably not. Is he a guy that you look at and you kind of ask the question, what the heck's going on? If you've ever been to an NFL game, and I know a lot of you have, and you watch afterwards, as soon as the game's over, every credentialed media member, boom, they're on the field. They're getting videos. They're trying to get
you up. And Randy. And
I actually don't. I'm packing up my stuff, going upstairs to help the great Miller Pope get out of there so we don't get left behind. I will walk on the field and dap up some of the guys
love
I
Miller.
Know. But, yeah, Miller's my
yeah,
dude.
Love Miller.
But I'm not out there trying to get autographs, and I'm not doing any film. But credentialed media, that's part of their job. Get post-game film. Get. So there is a single camera guy standing by himself probably at about the 25-yard line in New Orleans. And New Orleans is one of those old stadiums, so the only way to exit is in the end zone. That's where the players enter and leave the field. So Michael Bennett's leaving the field. This camera guy's not even asking him a question. He's literally just filming Michael Bennett leave the field. It's you get that reactionary video. That's what the league wants, probably what your network wants.
Yeah. Well, are they going to suspend him for the next game?
Michael Bennett stops. Turns, starts berating this cameraman, and then reaches over. I'm assuming he hits the off button on his camera because he reaches over and touches the camera to the point where when he does this, now all of the camera people are going, ooh, I've got to film this, and they start running over to film Michael Bennett.
So he cut an NWO promo right there in the middle of the field.
I thought it was a jerk move. I mean, dude, we understand what's going on. We understand the fact that you're not happy. You lost a football game. But isn't there a point with this that you just have to go, all right, things didn't work out real well for us. We lost a football game. Be a professional and move on.
Good luck getting the emotion to calm down and all that. I mean,
what's the point of going after a cameraman? Camera guy is probably making $40,000 a year.
Has that ever mattered, though? Like, it's the scapegoat that's right then and there in the middle of your emotional bullseye, John. You know that. I mean, it's who's ever right there. You know, people got mad about Nick Saban going after Maria Taylor or whatever like that.
Well, I thought it was a Bush League move.
She put the microphone in, and he knew exactly what he was going to say. It wasn't a Maria Taylor thing. It was he already had in his mind what he was going to say. She just happened to be the one that had the microphone there in front of him. So, by the way, you know that that's that wasn't off the cuff what Nick Saban was doing, right?
Probably not.
There's nothing Nick Saban does off the cuff.
No, it's all pre-produced.
Yes. He's already got in his mind exactly what he wants to say and the message he wants to get out there. He just happened to be the one that was in the crosshairs. But everybody gets all emotional about it. I get it. But he's just the one that the camera guy, unfortunately, is the guy who had to take the brunt of it.
What's the coldest game you've ever been to?
Oh, I've been a couple of games up in old Cleveland Municipal Stadium for the Browns and stuff like that in the early 80s. That I remember there was an Eagles game that we went to that was like, that was back when Ron Jaworski and Brian Sipe were the quarterbacks of those two teams, that it was brutally cold in that stadium because you get the wind and the lake and everything that was in there. Hell, there were baseball games where it was 30 degrees in that stadium. So, yeah, that's the coldest I remember. I mean,
I went to a Jacksonville, Denver. My mom's a Broncos season ticket holder. Don't mm-hmm. ask. Jacksonville Denver playoff game the year that Denver went to the Super Bowl, I believe they went and won. It's not the year that Jacksonville upset them in 96, I don't think. It might have been 97 or 98, whatever year it was. And it was like 14 degrees at kickoff, and there was snow packed along Old Mile High Stadium. Miserable. It's going to be worse than that this weekend in Kansas City.
Yeah, I've talked to Dan Reeves about the Ice Bowl before. Him and I've had a conversation with Dan about it, and he would just tell you, like, just like snot would come down his nose and it icicled up on his face and everything. And they were trying to chisel icicles of snot off people's faces.
It wasn't that bad in Green Bay this year. It was pretty close. I mean, I had the ski mask on, and the problem is the ski mask, your face gets really hot and then it sweats. And then the air starts coming through the ski mask and then it gets cold.
If you want to be a media guy, that's the kind of life you got to live, John. You know, Mr. Media Guy.
You know what I'm excited about next year, Preacher Man? 13 games indoors for the Falcons, your three outdoor games, San Francisco, Carolina, Tampa. I won't be in no freezing. Now, San Francisco can be cold.
Yes.
But it ain't going to be Green Bay cold. It ain't going to be Cleveland cold.
It's windy. It'll be windy cold.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't even know, I don't even know if they still have the wind effect that they
it's
used
not
to
as
in
bad.
Candlestick.
It's not as bad as the stick.
In Levi? Is that
what it is? Because it's a little further inland.
Yes. Yes.
So you're talking about Tampa, which we just played there in New Year's, and it was 80 degrees.
Yeah. I was going to say, so a bad day in Tampa is
72. Right. Yeah. The worst thing you get in Tampa is it's rainy.
Right. Right.
Might get wet, and then you smell like, well, at least I stink afterwards.
You're a media guy, so what can I tell you?
You know, maybe next year I'll get an apparel deal.
You might, yeah. Sideline apparel deal. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Something we could throw on out there. You see who the Packers hired as offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Like, this is a fraternity. When you get into coaching, you work your rear end off to get there. But if you're even mediocre, you get another. How is Nathaniel Hackett going from the Jaguars, who stunk on offense, to getting an offensive coordinator job in Green Bay?
That's the way it goes in this league. Once you're in the loop, that's why I joked about these head coaches. I mean, Randy and I talked about this weekend. I get why people have angst about the idea of Cliff Kingsbury. But, hell, I like it just if nothing else. Try something different. I mean, and it's not Dom Capers and Dick Duran and stuff like that.
You don't want Romeo Crennel to trot him out there again?
Yeah, bring them all out. But look at all the coordinators. I mean, Dirk Cutter, in 5 minutes after being fired from the head coach, is right back to being an OC in the league. Greg Williams, right back to being a DC in the league.
Hey, let's give away a pair of tickets right now to the Super Bowl experience. Not the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl experience that goes down at the Georgia World Congress Center. Super Bowl experience driven by Hyundai is the NFL's interactive theme park that opens Saturday, January the 26th through February the 2nd. You can get free autographs from NFL players, take a photo with the Vince Lombardi trophy, play like a pro, experience interactive games. You can buy tickets for the Super Bowl experience at Ticketmaster.com. But right now, we're giving some away. 404-741-0929. It'll be caller number 6 today, Paul. We're going to make you work. Caller 6 at 404-741-0929. You should see the bitter beer face that Paul just gave me. From the Bible, coming up next, what we got, Preacher Man?
We have an interesting tidbit about Kyle Murray and a relative at a famous sporting event that happened. You'll find out coming up next.
It is time for From the Bible, and congratulations to Michael in Noonan. Michael in Noonan, he picked up tickets to the Super Bowl experience going down at the Georgia World Congress Center. Congratulations to him. That should be a lot of fun. I think we will be set up somewhere close to there, Preacher Man. When it starts talking about free autographs, Paul will come over there and sign a picture for you shirtless. That's kind of his thing. You didn't know that, did you, John? When we go to Twin Peaks and Buckhead, Paul sits there shirtless the entire time.
Really? Is his autograph like all thumbs? I mean, oh, boy.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Get in line, okay? If you're going to make thumb jokes, leave it to this side of the glass.
Oh, boy.
I've got
you can only make
corner.
Thumb jokes if you're actually on the show.
Oh. That's fine. Listen. Hey, Paul. There you go, buddy.
Good job, John.
Thanks.
High four.
We turn it over to Paul right now. You guys are so childish. I would never take those kind of shots.
I can't do the for life with you, but you know.
Actually,
really.
You can.
Yeah. I just have to use the. Yeah.
What's weird is if he gets arrested, they just have put his head print on there.
Wow. With friends like this, this is why you carry a gun.
Yeah, this is why I carry a gun.
I love you, Paul.
All right, so I don't know if you saw this, but YG and Post Malone had a bet for the Cowboys. Rams game.
Hey, John, that would be a rapper and a rapper singer.
Okay.
Okay. Just wanted to let you know who those guys are.
Because I'm the OG.
Yeah.
Which YG won, of course. Mm-hmm. So it's 20 juice boxes large to him. Apparently, Master P is challenging YG to an NFL version of Big Bang Take Little Bang.
Uh-oh.
He told TMZ he's so confident in his Saints beating YG's Rams this weekend that he wants to put 40,000 juice boxes on the game.
He'll just peel a piece of gold off of the railing in his house there in Masterpiece Studios down in Louisiana. There was also a video of YG, because I think he was sitting next to Post Malone at the game. And when the Rams won the football game, he got up and looked at Post Malone and said something along the lines of, blank the Cowboys, very loudly.
Well, I was a big fan of his when he played for Utah. Him and Stockton were a great combination.
Yeah, it's a different. That's Post Malone, not Carl Malone.
Well, he was the postman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not Mark Malone either.
Oh, okay. Moses?
Have you ever actually heard a Post Malone song?
No. No. Not on this earth.
The entire rest of the show, the best. Of, you got to play Sunflower. That's the song that all the...
Would I rather hear Baby Shark than...
Yeah. No. No. You would much rather hear... But Post Malone's actually really good.
Okay.
If, Corner Officer Sean has the hookup... No. If they have the hookup for the Post Malone concert... Although I think I'd rather go see Migos and Ludacris. But either one, you know, slide them this way. I got kids. They'd love to go. Love to let my daughter go see Post Malone. Although Kane would fight for that one. He's got a new song called Sunflower. Oh, Kane knows every word and wants to hear it 50 times a day. It's a good song, though. Preacher Man.
All right, so back in spring training game in Arizona in March 2003, Randy Johnson threw a fastball that somehow collided with a bird mid-flight, and said bird exploded.
Yeah, bird was
Do you know
dead.
Who was at the plate when he threw the pitch?
No, I have no idea.
That would be Kyler Murray's uncle.
Really?
Yep.
Who's his uncle?
His uncle is Calvin. Calvin Murray.
Calvin Murray.
Played for the Giants.
Calvin Murray.
I don't remember him.
I thought he played for the Rockets.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Eddie Murray. I was going to say I didn't know there was any relation between. So his dad was at the plate, or I'm sorry, his uncle was at the plate when Randy Johnson exploded a bird, which the PETA people got mad as if Randy Johnson tried to hit the bird.
Yes.
As if, even if the bird was sitting there, I'm not sure Randy Johnson would have hit the bird. Mm-hmm.
It's one of the flukiest things I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Did somebody hit a bird with a line drive too?
Dave Winfield hit a bird on a throw, I think, from right field or something, that he hit a bird one time.
Now, what's the official Major League rulings on those? Is that just a ball?
I think it's in play.
Is that just a ball for Randy?
Yeah, I think it is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it is an official pitch. I don't think it's like a, you know, draw a line in the sand and redo it or something like that.
Fastball, just a bit outside. He just blew up a pigeon.
And that thing exploded by it. It was so great.
I wouldn't call it great.
That's great.
It's kind of disgusting.
Yeah, because we need more birds. There's just not enough.
I don't know. I've shown that clip to Tyler many times.
What do we have more, birds or scooters down on the sidewalk?
Scooters.
Right,
bird
now.
Scooters.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, the electric red bikes with a big basket, like the big bad wolf is coming for us. It's going to be Little Red Marking Hood over here in a second. He just gave me a dirty look.
I'm giving a thumbs down for that one for Paul, who can't.
No. Wow. Paul, you have my full permission. Put him in a rear naked choke.
No, I'm good. All right, so remember a couple weeks ago, James Harrison and Antonio Brown teased that there'd be an interview coming.
Sure.
Well, Brown has said on Twitter on Tuesday that the interview is coming soon. That message came minutes after Brown posted, "Stand up for yourself and stop allowing others to tell you who you are, what you are, and how you are. Many are watching your every step, so be you and be consistent." And he gave props to Deion Sanders for that comment.
So that was James Harrison to Antonio Brown?
No, that was Antonio Brown posting a message.
Oh, okay.
Remember that James Harrison and Antonio Brown, when Mike Tomlin was doing his end-of-season press conference, they were on Instagram teasing that they were going to drop their own interview.
Was it Antonio Brown that just put the picture out of him in a 49ers uniform?
I know Jerry Rice was excited about that.
Did you see that picture?
I have not seen that.
I think there's a picture of Antonio Brown that he put out that is like half of him is in a 49ers uniform and the other half's in a Pittsburgh uniform. Am I right on that?
I have to look it
up.
He
has been hinting that he wants to play for the Niners.
He'd fit in that offense really well. I mean, think Kyle Shanahan's offense, what he did here with Julio Jones. Antonio Brown would have some numbers with Nick Mullins or whoever the hell they have playing court. Jimmy Garoppolo,
yeah, Garoppolo's
throwing him
back.
The football.
He's got to get healthy, right?
I like Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins is a kid that looked like he could play.
Well, let me tell you, that's a great St. John's team that they had.
No, that's Chris Mullins.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Close. Close.
I really don't follow sports.
No,
so.
No. You're on the right station.
Yeah, exactly. Right show?
Yeah, perfect show. Preacher man.
All right, so question. James Garrett, safe, gone.
Jason Garrett?
Jason Garrett, what's his name? Yeah, Jason.
Not
Jason.
Yeah.
I told James. Now I got John.
By the way, thank you for confirming.
No, we don't pay attention.
I was saying, James Garrett is safe. He is good at State Farm. He's not going anywhere. Jason Garrett, I don't think he's going anywhere. How do you fire a coach that wins a playoff game, wins the division for the third time in 5 years? His chance to be fired was a couple of months ago. When that didn't happen, I think he's safe. He's sticking around.
Well, your guy, Jerry Jones, went on our sister station, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. He said this: if Jason Garrett had been on the market 2 weeks ago, he would have had 5 offers for head coaching. I know that, and so you've got to look at what your alternative is. He goes, I like the direction we're going in. I don't have any comments this morning about extensions because my options are open. Nobody knows because I don't know this morning. I'm the last say.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that Jerry Jones was going to be the guy that was going to fire him, but remember, was it they were 3-5? And they were scuffling, and then the Cowboys made the gangster move to go get Amari Cooper, and all of a sudden they started playing good football.
Yeah.
You lost to a team that might win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's no shame, and I think it's just it's more a matter of the way that they lost because they got physically manhandled,
sure.
Gave up the most rushing yards ever, and their Cowboys been around as a franchise for a while.
Yes,
had a few playoff games.
Sounds like the 11s.
Yeah, it was the most rushing yards that ever given up in a playoff game. Man,
I was there when they were invented.
Well, you know, of course, you know, I covered the Ice Bowl, for God's sakes. Back then, we just called it, you know,
the bowl.
Snowflake Bowl. You know?
No, that's what they'd call it today.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Preacher man.
All right, so Kyler Murray said he's going to go into the NFL draft. Well, Deion Sanders, who's played both professional baseball and football, was asked about Murray's chances. He says life won't allow him to. This game won't allow him to at this position. He also wanted to say, if I was in his shoes, I'm picking up the baseball bat and I'm not looking back. That's just for me. Sometimes I still have regrets that I didn't get it more, but, you know, I've got a gold jacket in the closet. I'm straight, but I wish I would have given it more, referring to baseball.
Yeah, because remember, back then, Deion was a guy to play a football game, and he'd helicopter into Old Turner Field. Actually, it was Fulton County Stadium
Fulton County Stadium.
You know, he'd helicopter in and play. He was playing outfield, and he was playing defensive back. It's a little no disrespect to defensive back. It's a little different playing quarterback in the NFL, the amount of time that it takes to perfect that position, than it is playing corner.
And Deion is literally the best to ever play his position in football.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, like, I'm not telling you Kyler Murray can't be a good player. But the idea that he's the best quarterback in the history of the NFL, whereas Deion is already starting off at a place of, I'm the best cornerback in the history of the league.
I don't think he ever needed to practice, and because they literally would say, you're guarding this guy,
right.
And we're just going to let you be.
Right.
Preacher man, what you got back there? You got some research material? None?
No, I'm good.
Not at all?
Really?
Like not even one?
No.
Now, Paul's on strike. And
what
means,
happened?
Well, you know, things happen. What? Oh, he didn't win the presidency. That's what happened. So I'm going to give you one today. You want to write this one down? This girl's in way better shape than all of us. Q-I-M-M-A, Q-I-M-M-A-H-R-U-S-S-O. She's related to Tom Russo. Kima H. Russo. Kima H. Russo. That's today's research material.
Okay.
Yeah. When we come back, you go from Kima to Knox. Quite a dichotomy between the two of them. We'll talk to Knox next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Knox Bardeen.
The new name of the segment is 50 Shades of Knox.
You are such a stud.
Knox Uncensored.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
One of my favorite segments each and every week, the one and only Knox Bardeen, the self-proclaimed sexiest man in radio.
Self-proclaimed?
Yeah.
Man, I did not self-proclaim that.
You put the promo together. You Steve the wording.
Did you hear my voice in that promo at all?
But the guy that said it was our voice guy, Steve, and you gave him the wording to say you were the sexiest man in radio.
You gave him the wording.
I did not. I just said it's 50 Shades of Noxy. Because you said you don't like being called Noxy.
I definitely don't like that. Thank you for remembering.
What about Chainsaw?
I would rather. But I'm not Chainsaw anymore.
Oh, is that all? You're all
I'm sleep apnea up now? Yeah, I'm all sleep apnea up. It's fantastic.
So what did they give you? Did you end up having to wear like the old gas mask thing?
They're better now. It's just over. It's a thing that goes right over my nose and just forces air into my nose every time I want. The thing is when I went for the sleep test, I was stopping breathing 88 times an hour.
That's scary.
And so now I'm down to less than one per night. And
that's
I'm
good.
Sleeping all the way through the night.
Now, do you sleep better?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How happy is the wife that you're not dying?
Well, I'm allowed to sleep in the same room as her now. So that's a bonus.
You got the travel size one?
Yes. Now, it's still, you know, I don't know if I'd want to carry it around with me all the time, but yeah, it's small enough to take on an airplane and stuff like that.
Yeah, the way that they've done the CPAP machines now, they don't sound like a, you know, broken down refrigerator.
It's almost silent now, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're completely different than
so
the
you
old
weren't day. Allowed to sleep in the same room with your wife?
Very rarely.
Wow. Boy, she really wears the pants
that
in your
really
family.
That really has nothing to do with the snoring. Yeah.
Boy, I thought I made minimal decisions at my house. You don't make any.
Not at all.
No?
Not at all.
Are you proud of it?
You've met her. No, I'm not proud of it. It doesn't bother me. I'm not. It's not like I beat my chest. Hey, I don't get to do anything. No. No. But the things are the way they are at the Bardeen household, and I'm not fighting it.
Okay. Well, hey, you know what? Don't break up a good thing is the way we look at it. This is actual audio from SEC Media Day 3 years ago now?
Yeah.
This is what I had to sleep with for a week. And I'm trying not to laugh. This is at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
That sounded like a mashup of Knox sleeping and a Cinemax movie that was going on at the same time right there.
That was at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Uh-huh. You know, we have a long day at SEC Media Day, and then we'll stay out and hang out with people we know and have a few drinks or a bunch of drinks, whatever it may be. And Knox, five in the afternoon, I walked in from doing interviews. I said, what the hell is it? Like, I have to go to the gym now.
No more of this.
Wow.
Is that American?
It's hey.
That's
Mormon. Moved me all around.
Hey, we did move you all around. I shook Knox. He didn't move, didn't do anything. Nah. All right, we want to bicker about a couple of things. First of all, we were talking about today, earlier on in the program, we got a Twitter poll up at Rick and John 929. 2, 4, 6, or 8. What do you think the college football playoffs should be?
This year it looked like it got watered down. It should have been two teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the two teams that were in the national championship, every year it's going to be different. Last year it was four. Every year, whether it's the third team, the fifth team, the seventh, they're going to be angry. I'm not so sure yet you have to move things around to make people happy. Four is the right number right now.
Now, Bill Hancock has openly said, or one of his guys that worked on his staff maybe a week ago, this isn't up for debate till 2026. He goes, all the erroneous media reports about there being an early out, he said, no, it's going to be at four. For me, you guys know how I stand with this. I am an inclusive guy. I would like to see the five conference champions, two at-large, and a group of five team get a chance to play. It ain't happening no time soon. So if it stays at four, it's fine. And, Knox, that brought John and I to a great debate. How do you now catch Alabama and Clemson? How do you break the stranglehold that is now 4 years, and they will be number one and number two coming into 2019? How do you break that stranglehold?
I think it has to do with coaching. I think Clemson has done a very good job, and I remember the Dabo Swinney hire was not popular when it happened, not in the least. But just like they do at Alabama, Dabo Swinney convinced Clemson to start paying lots and lots of money for the right assistant coaches. And Brent Venables looks like a genius right now after that national championship game, and they're going to continue to pay him more and more. The next school that's going to step up and become the Alabama and Clemson has to do something very similar. You have to fight the right combination of head coach, OC, DC, and pay them to where they don't want to leave.
Now, Alabama hasn't had it where people are staying. I mean, he loses a staff every year. The difference is he finds the cast of misfit toys of all the fired coaches around college football. They go, I'll go work for Saban.
Steve Sarkisian's going back to the OC. Yeah.
But I also think he does a masterful job of hiring the former head coach who's fallen off to do something like being
an
observer, an analyst. Or he was the first guy to really start paying your strength and conditioning coaches, your nutrition coach. And building the program that way to where there's a million people around here helping to get these kids where they want to be.
You got to get away. Like, if we just stay local with it, you know, the big thing, Knox, is that you got to get out of the we go to LSU and we get run by three touchdowns. You know, more than just you didn't beat Alabama because you had a stranglehold on them. You can't have – because Alabama and Clemson don't have those other kinds of games. You know, it's not that they're unbeatable, but Alabama is not going on the road to lose by three touchdowns to LSU. Clemson's not – you know, the only way Syracuse almost beat Clemson was because their quarterback got knocked out and everything kind of came together. And by the way, Syracuse, pretty good team. I mean, better team than what it turned out to be. So it's before you get to the Alabama level, you can't lay those eggs other places. I tell people all the time, if Georgia doesn't lose to LSU and they beat LSU, they're in the playoff. Yeah. It's not the Alabama game. I mean, yes, in the sense that they didn't win the SEC title, but the Alabama game would not have been an elimination game if you had beaten LSU. Kirby's had one of those in each of his years, is that it's Auburn. It's you got to get away from that business of we lay an egg once a year at one of these places.
Well, remember, Clemsoning used to be the thing when they'd lose to Boston College.
My term for Jeff, you know, when it was Clem fraud.
Yeah.
You know, they were. They'd go to the Orange Bowl, play West Virginia,
and lose by 80.
And get 70 hung up on them.
That, then that is a different – and that's one of the biggest problems with Georgia right now is – Georgia, and it's not just the fans. I think the program in general is so hung up on we were close twice to Alabama. Get over that. Being close, it only counts, as they say, in horseshoes and hand grenades. It no longer is being close. You need to win this game, and you don't need to lose to LSU, and you don't need to get run at Auburn. You still made the playoffs with all of those things.
Well, and that could be the answer. If you're trying to find out who's going to be the next Alabama or Clemson, it's probably going to be a team that comes from a conference outside of the ACC or the SEC because you don't have to go through either one of them.
Knox, I think if there's a chance, and Ohio State, unfortunately for them, don't get blown out by Purdue.
Right,
don't
lose
to the Michigan States of the world. Sorry, Deshaun. The team to me, and it might be two in the same conference that have a chance. One, I just kind of did the hook 'em horns.
Right.
They obviously are climbing. But Oklahoma, because it is a two-team conference right now, and I know Iowa State wins some games, and they're going to upset some people. But most years it should be Oklahoma and Texas. Now as Texas makes that ascension back up through college football, Oklahoma showed that for three quarters they could hang with Alabama, but they're not going to have many of those brain fart losses during the year. I know they lost to Iowa State 2 years ago, still made the playoffs. They lost to Texas, still made the playoffs, because if they only have one close loss, and I think that's where you're going with Georgia, you lost by 20, you lost by, what, 23 to Auburn the year previous? If you lose by 7 to LSU this year, you might have been in the college football playoffs.
That Texas team does look like it's back. So does the Texas A&M team, too. That both of those teams look like they are ready to skyrocket in terms of back to nationally prominent programs.
Let Jimbo Fisher not lose three games without Jameis Winston, then I'll buy him.
But your question kind of got me starting to think, who's going to be the next Alabama or Clemson? You know, Oklahoma is probably the easiest answer.
Mm-hmm.
Texas is a good answer. Texas A&M doesn't work in my other scenario because you have to go through Alabama.
You have to go through Bama
every single season.
And that's the problem with anybody in the ACC now. You have to go through Clemson every year. And there's nobody in the ACC within 500 yards of Clemson. Mm-hmm. Like you, and I think we were talking about this Saturday. You could literally take an all-star
team
from the rest of the ACC and you're not beating Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how far and away better they are than everybody. And I get it. Dino Babers has done a good job 2 years in a row. They beat them once at their building. They were real close at Clemson to upsetting them. Do I buy that Syracuse is a team that's going to overtake Clemson? No. On a one-day Saturday scenario where Clemson might not have their A game, can you beat them? Or that stupid Friday night game? Could they be? Sure. Nobody's catching that.
And that's
team.
Why I don't like increasing it to eight games, because that lets four other lesser programs into that playoff for a chance for one time lightning strikes and we upset one of the big boys. I like the big boys playing for national champions, and I know the game was kind of ugly at 44-16 this year, but usually when Clemson and Alabama play, they are knockdown dragouts.
And I don't like the idea of the conference thing. I mean, you could very much make a case, John, honestly, that Kentucky and Florida were every bit as good as Washington or Utah.
Right.
But Kentucky and Florida were never going to get an opportunity. Because you're going to give an automatic spot, if you will, to a Pac-12 team.
Well said.
Neither one of those teams deserve to be in. Hell, Kentucky's as good a team as any of those teams were. So why would I want those teams in a? I want to give a conference a pass because they had a down year. They deserve to be in a playoff spot. They're supposed to be coveted.
Let's give away $1,000 right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
WILD. W-I-L-D. WILD's your code word. You got to text WILD to 72881. Got a sentence for WILD?
I was just looking at Knox's hair. It got a little wild.
Well, that's because the Redican Rewind number 6 maybe was out of nothing. It's just holding up the top of those headphones because it's so spiked up.
You know, I'm trying to become kid and play later in life.
Are you? That's nice.
Like I could take, like, if I dropped a golf ball, I could, you know, take my forearm and hit it.
Yeah, is that a playable lie?
Yeah,
is what
exactly.
We want to know.
Yeah.
Wild's your code word. You got to text WILD right now to 72881. It's your chance to win $1,000. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. For complete rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules. So we're kind of, I'm the only one that wants 8. You guys are kind of liking it where it's at. But something we got to do real quick. Mike Smith, did you guys see this? Smitty has said he's not coming back to football. He's done coaching. That's something that just came out a little while ago. Mike Smith saying thanks, but no thanks. How do you remember him here in Atlanta?
Oh, as a guy who turned this franchise around. As part of the turning the tide of the Falcons being a relevant franchise consistently.
One of the nicest guys to deal with from a media standpoint. Players loved him. And I tell you what, if he and Dimitroff had been a little more in sync like Dimitroff and Quinn are when it comes to team building, I think he might still be here, and this franchise might be one of those that are talked about under the longevity category.
You know what's funny, and people forget, 2008, and it seemed like really until 2012, those guys were lockstep in sync with what they wanted. And then, unfortunately, you had to make some salary cap questions. Michael Turner is done. Your linebacker core goes from why can I not think of my guys, the middle backer, Curtis Lofton's there. You go from him and
Peterson.
Yeah, you know, Mike Pete, and you had those guys. So all of a sudden you went to undrafted free agents.
I don't think people, though, if you weren't here for the 07 season of the Falcons, I would argue with you, this franchise has never been lower
right
than it was in 07. I mean, with Mike and Arthur and the Petrino and everything. I mean, you know, you're playing Byron Leftwich and Joey Harrington. Of course, I would even in the years when Mike went down, given the way that, you know, when Mike got hurt under Dan, but because of how it went for Mike, franchise was never at a lower point than it was in that 07 season. And to draft a rookie quarterback and be a playoff team the next year, that was a miracle. What this team was able to do in that one year.
And all I know is I got some great golf equipment from Mike Smith's golf tournament year in and year out. Hey, by the way, we do this every day. It's called our Fantasy Picks of the Day, brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. Go to myprizepicks.com. You can also download the app on the iTunes store right now. Just look up Prize Picks. It's the newest daily fantasy game. It's a lot of fun. New members who sign up right now, make sure you use the promo code 929, your first, and you get your first deposit. You're going to get a free 2-pick entry with a chance to win $50. They have a 100% first deposit, instant match. So $50 is going to get you $100 in promo money to play with. Basically, it's an over-under game with fantasy points. So my fantasy picks for the day, I'm going to take Thaddeus Young over 30.6 fantasy points as they take on the Phoenix Suns today. And I got to take my guy John Collins over 39.8 as long as John's playing tonight with the ankle that he banged up the other day. Over 39.8. Those would be my fantasy picks. Go to myprizepicks.com. Download the app on the iTunes store. It's a great daily fantasy game. Over, under. It's a lot of fun. John, I suggest that you two get out your phone. Prize Picks. Go ahead and put it in there. Go ahead and log in. 92.9. That's the promo code. All that good stuff.
Just in closing, you know, Knox is not in the business of the Braves trying to win a World Series this year. He wants to kind of slow build into this thing and just kind of take it easy and not get too fast into it.
I just don't want to spend $86 million or $100 million on Craig Kimbrell.
Right. I mean, why would we want to win World Series?
Well, I'm fine without Craig Kimbrell, but I would have spent $200 million on Bryce Harper. I can tell you that much. Still letting him go to the godforsaken Phillies.
Can you have them both?
Well, it's fine. It's not my money. You can spend as much as you want. Write a check. Knox, great stuff as always. Make sure you check out all of his work as well as everybody else's at 92.9thegame.
And mine that he takes.
.com. Yeah. Well, that's exactly. What's bugging Chuckery? We'll get into that next, as well as continue the conversation on Mike Smith, his legacy here in Atlanta, next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Round with Rick and John.
Let's order up one more round. Let's do that. But before we do that, John Chuckery's in for Rick Kamla. I don't know that we have the intro music. Oh, we actually do. Owens, how should I ever doubt the president of our show? He's always on top of the game for like 4% of the day. He's got what's bugging Chuckery. Shocking.
Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So many remember Iman Shumpert, Georgia Tech player, now with the Sacramento Kings.
That's where he's at now?
Yes, with the Sacramento Queens. And in the Monday night 115-107 victory over the Portland Trailblazers, he had a bit of an issue with Yusef Nurkic.
Yeah,
am I pronouncing that right?
Nurkic.
Yeah, never going to play. But
he's actually not bad.
Okay, if you say so. I'm on your fantasy thing or whatever you had going on there. Because it's 2018, I guess what happened was is that he set a couple of hard screens on Shumpert in the second half of the game.
It's called basketball.
So Shumpert decided, because it's 2018, I know what year, but it's 2018 still.
Right.
I've got to go make a run at this guy. So he tried to bully his way into the locker room.
And do what?
I don't know. Now, shockingly, he was held back by all the Trailblazer security and everything.
Sure.
What exact? How do you think that scene? Hey, no. Hey. God, okay. You really want to meet this? What's his name? Yusef never not going to play again.
Yeah, Nurkic.
Okay.
Nurkic.
All right. If you really want Nerf ball, get him after the game. I mean, or
on the court.
Right. I mean, so you're going to wait till you try to go in their locker room.
Right.
He said some stuff needed to be between me and him, a conversation between two men. Some stuff happened out there that we needed to have a conversation about it. Now, what'd you say this guy's with? Nerf ball?
That guy.
Okay. Quote, I'm not going to worry about it. He's going into retirement soon. I'm not going to worry about a guy who's going into retirement soon.
You gotta love
That's
that.
A great line to
Absolutely.
Give back to him. Can we stop with this fake tough guy kind of stuff? Like, what exactly do you – so you really thought – you're just going to walk right up and walk right into the Trailblazers locker room. Nobody noticed. Nobody say nothing. Like, what were you going to grab? A Clyde Drexler jersey and just slide it on over you and just walk yourself in?
It's going to get a Sam Bowie pinup.
I don't understand these guys. When if you really are that mad and you feel like you've got to do something.
Do it on the court.
Right. Do it on the court. Wait for him after the buses or whatever. There's plenty of ways you could figure out how to get a hold of this guy versus, oh, here's what I'm going to do. Wait till the game is over, and I'm going to go in the locker room and try to go get him. Meanwhile, he didn't even get into that. He didn't even get that far into it.
Yeah, because you know what that sounds like, John? That is pretty simply, ooh, I'm going to show my teammates how tough I
right.
am, but I really don't have to do it. So by virtue of walking to the locker room, and having, you know, top flight security with their red or purple jackets on, whatever they're wearing, telling you, nope, you can't get in. You could say, oh, I was gonna get him if I got in there. You weren't gonna do a damn thing on Shumpert.
He's not gonna disrespect me like that. Watch it. I'm gonna go in their locker. You weren't even getting within 20 feet of their locker.
And what do you think was gonna happen? They were gonna circle up like it was the old schoolyard
fight. Just let them square off.
Yeah. Hey, we're gonna circle off so nobody gets in. And we're gonna let you two sit and fight. No, first of all, the guys on the Blazers are actually gonna have their teammates back.
It's not Terry Stotts who's still coaching the Blazers, is it? Who's coaching the Blazers nowadays?
I have no idea.
You're playing this fantasy stuff. You can at least come up with a Blazers coach. But
look.
So who's ever coaching the Blazers, like he just allow one of the Sacramento Kings to just come in the locker room.
It is still Terry Stotts.
Is it still Terry Stotts?
Yeah.
Okay. Just let him come in the locker room. And like you said, hey, guys, if you got a problem, you guys just go ahead and duke it out over here. Let me talk to the media people over
right.
here. Let me get in this media scrum over here while you guys just duke it out over here. Guys are so 2018, man, I swear. Just get out your feelings, man. If you really want to be Twitter tough guy or whatever, go do it when you got a shot out there in the court or wait for him later on when he comes out of the locker room and everything.
You know what's funny? It would have been – the only thing worse than that would have been if he decided to be Twitter tough guy.
Yeah.
And he would have said, you know, next time I see Yusef Nurkic, me and him are going to have problems.
He did have his apology on Twitter.
Of course
Shumpert did.
Because
it's 2018.
Because it's 2018, exactly.
Yeah, he put his apology on Twitter. I apologize to the fans if I made a scene. Wasn't my intention, but this 2019 stuff is all about a quote-unquote story. Don't let that distract you from this young scores ball club getting a great victory against a tested Blazers team.
So not only were you fake tough guy going to the locker room, then you do the stoop. I hate – if there's anything I hate in sports, it's the stupid afterwards apology.
Mm-hmm.
If you did something and you believed in it enough to do it and take ownership. you didn't mean to cause a scene. You went from your locker room where your suit and, you know, probably your tennis shoes and your headphones and your Apple Watch and all this stuff is hanging, and went to the other team's locker room, which they're normally not right next to each other. I don't know how many of you have been underneath the arena, but they're normally on, you know, opposite ends of the spectrum, opposite corridors in the arena. You didn't mean to make a scene, yet you walked all the way over there, and now you're issuing a stupid apology.
Guy's been in the league 7 years, and he acts like he doesn't know how the protocol of this would go down. Like, after 7 years, he just figured, well, hell, I'd be able to just walk in their locker room and I can confront him right then and there after a game. Oh, of course, yeah.
Aren't they on the same? Are they in the same division?
Sure.
So that means you're going to play each other like seven more times before the year's over. You'll get your chance, Amon.
You probably know what club he would be at or something afterward. I mean, there's plenty of opportunity.
I was going to say, I don't think the club scene in Portland is actually banging that much. So there's probably like two spots that they're going to.
That's probably all vegan or something. So,
and y'all have to wear flannel.
Yeah, drink a lot of coffee.
Yeah, do all of that stuff. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it's like? We got to ask Andy one day. What is the club scene? Matter of fact, Andy might be listening. Andy, what's the club scene like in Portland?
I think their finger bowl's got granola, right? Is that what it is?
Instead of pretzels, yeah. And beer nuts, yeah. And all that stuff.
Wood chips.
You have all those things. Hey, we were talking earlier, and that's what's bugging Chugger.
Yes.
We were talking earlier about Mike Smith. And Smitty, if you just missed a report, Pro Football Talk said that former Falcons coach Mike Smith has announced that he is done with coaching. Recently fired from the Tampa Bay Bucs as a defensive coordinator. I think you said it best. He literally was part of the
transformation.
Yeah,
it was an utter transformation of what I can't tell people enough. If you weren't here in 07,
it was
brutal. You were on that mayhem in the AM show.
Yeah.
How bad did it get?
Oh, it was brutal.
Yeah. That was a horrible year for this franchise.
I know I did post game in 08 and 09. I think I did a little post game in 07. And by the end of the year, it was like, well, we're here because we're sponsored. We'll take some calls if you guys even give a damn. Because people were so done with the Falcons in 07. Who was playing quarterback then? It was Byron Leftwich.
And Joey Harrington.
Yeah. I mean, did Kirk Kittner get snaps that year, or was that before?
No. That's the Doug Johnson.
Okay.
That's under Dan. That's when Dan was here.
Tony Graziani.
Yeah, that's the twosome that when Mike got hurt in the Baltimore Ravens game, that was Kirk Kittner and Doug Johnson that year.
Didn't Graziani get a couple of snaps?
No, that's back when Chris Chandler got hurt.
My Falcon
because
backup
them. We had at one time Tony Graziani quarterbacking with Ken Oxendine and Byron Hanspard in the backfield for
Byron
Jamal when he went down.
Hanspard.
Yeah, and Ken Oxendine when Jamal went down. That was our two running backs.
So for all of us complaining about 7-9, and we have absolutely a ton of reads, this was supposed to be a Super Bowl team. You just went down memories that no Falcon fan wants to remember. We're spoiled in 2018.
Don't forget, 07 is Bobby Petrino.
The whole
thing that happened with all that.
I don't think anybody forgets that year.
Just that was such a horrible year. For Mike Smith to come into this situation, not being a head coach, and him and Thomas come in together, like you said, they were kind of coming in together. Because remember, Rich McKay was let go from the GM position.
And moved to the presidency.
Remember his pick in 07?
Oh, God, I have to think. Was it?
I just said his name.
Was it Virginia Tech?
Nope.
Wasn't Jimmy Williams.
No,
Jimmy Williams was 06.
I just said the guy's name, except that he played a different position.
Oh, that Jamal Williams.
No, Anderson.
Oh, Jamal Anderson. Yeah.
The one out of Arkansas.
Yeah, who went, what, seventh overall?
Was it Arkansas or Louisville?
No, it was Arkansas.
Arkansas. Who had played like 1 year of college football or something like that.
Wasn't the year before they took Jimmy Williams, or was it 2 years?
Jamal with one L, or there's a difference between how they spell their first name or something like that.
Yeah, one was productive for the Falcons, the other one wasn't.
You understand, that dude went an entire season, and his stat line was, I think he had no sacks and one tackle for loss for the entire year of 07.
Sounds like Eric Kumaro or John Bosa.
Yeah, it was that was a horrendous pick. Horrendous pick. And so it all changed in 08. So I'm still surprised Mike Smith did not get another NFL head coaching job. Or did he just not want to be an NFL head coach?
I think he was happy in Tampa being the defensive coordinator. Him and Dirk had obviously developed a relationship when Cutter was here as the offensive coordinator. Dirk gave him a home down there. And I mean, dude, there's a lot worse places you can be as an NFL head coach than coaching the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
But
living on the water, playing golf.
He had so much success, though. I mean, really, truly speaking, he had unprecedented success for this franchise. To not get another job always surprised me. I know the last couple of years didn't end well. But the guy won a ton of games, and they were in the NFC title game. I mean, I'm just always amazed, and I wonder how much was You can't tell me that somebody didn't reach out to Mike Smith to be a head coach.
Yeah, he had interviewed. Oh, he had interviewed a couple of times for head coaching jobs and never got them. Mike was always one of the most genuine dudes that we were ever around. One of the nice, hey, how you guys doing? Man, we're going to be great here today. You know, we're going to ask Matt to make the offense really explosive. And, you know, he used to have his golf tournament, which that was where I consider myself a media member, because we got to go play in the Mike Smith golf tournament. It was always up at the River Club there in Suwanee.
Yeah.
Beautiful, because I think he lived out there.
Yeah.
Beautiful facility. And he took care of us.
That's a beautiful place, by the way. There's a lot of that's like the northern part where like all the lot of fame, like Veritas.
Yeah.
And Ron White lived in there, the comedian.
Yeah, I can't afford a tire on one of the cars that are in there. That place is unbelievable. But Smitty, no longer going to coach anymore. You know, I like Mike Smith. I like Dan Quinn better, but I did like Mike Smith in his time here.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.